and the vote is taken.
I understand, we all have to sit down.
I'm kidding, yeah, right.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, friends and family and members and visitors. Welcome all. It is great that we are all here together for the fourth Sunday of Advent, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We begin today with the words as printed in our bulletin. Please join me. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made.
The Lord is righteousness. Let us wait with hope and expectation.
We invite all those who can stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Desiring all to come to repentance, trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sins. Everlasting God,
you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of our waking world. Amen.
Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might,
free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. Well, I found a little present, but I don't know if I should open it because it's entitled Two, and it's Trouble, and it's from the Troubler. There's probably trouble in this box. What should I do? I should open it anyways. Probably should open it. So it's trouble, so I don't know. I'm expecting trouble here. What are you expecting?
You want
to
help?
Oh, there we go. Yay! Almost there. Okay. So it looks like it's lights, but you never trust the box. So what are you expecting? What type of trouble are you expecting? Let's see. We're expecting trouble, so we're expecting bad things to happen. What do you know? It's Joseph. Our text today is about Joseph. And you know, Joseph, he's expecting trouble. He's scared. Life isn't working out the way he wants it to. And then the angel comes and tells him, just trust God and take it. And so, let us remember that even when he gets in trouble, God's unexpected mercy makes it all work out. So let us, on the count of three, bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Hear now the word. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is psalm number 80. It's on page 5 of your bulletin. I'll read the light print. Please respond with the dark. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray?
You have fed them with bowls of tears, with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one you have made so strong for yourself.
And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Our second reading today is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1. Hear now the word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, we have to talk about oranges this morning. Because if you weren't here last week, we encountered a bit of a miracle. If you weren't here, let me explain it to you. And if you were here also, you may have thought that was me doing some sleight of hand magic. But let me tell you, let me assure you, it wasn't. So let me paint the scene. As you know, last week was John the Baptist sending his disciples out, and I wanted to give the message that I gave, and I thought, if you weren't here, one of my better sermons, so check it out on YouTube. But it was all about going out. It's not enough to be told your faith. We have to venture out and encounter Christ. But how to put that in a children's sermon, it's really difficult, and I didn't know what to say, and I was up late, not at night, and on Saturday night it hit me, I could do it with an orange, right? Because we almost always have oranges here, and I could simply say, I could describe an orange, and then I could invite you to go out and taste an orange. Only when I came to church, there were no oranges as we normally have them. I was later to find out that we had just a few and Emily hid them. She didn't want them to run out, enough for everybody. But no oranges. But I was out of time. And I'm just going to go with it. So I gave you the simple thing that you're going to have to use your imagination. The oranges are pretend out there. And the story should have ended there. Except after service. And I assure you again, this was not sleight of hand magic on my part. I'm good, I'm not that good. But when we came out, hundreds of oranges. Bags of oranges on every table. Christmas miracle before our eyes. And friends, it's awkward to talk about it. I know. But just think about it for a moment. As I was up late at night thinking of oranges, somewhere in this congregation, in this community, the Spirit was moving. And whoever brought them, thank you. I don't need to know. I'm not asking. Keep your secrets. But the Spirit was moving in that light. And in those oranges, however they got here, and I'm sure they had their own marvelous story, someone loaded 6 bags of oranges in their car and said, "Hey, I'm going to go to church with oranges. I don't know what." But there's the miracle. It wasn't manna from the sky type of miracle, but mostly miracles aren't like that. Because God uses our hands, our feet. It's we who make miraculous, magical moments happen. And so I pondered it long and hard, and I asked, why now? Why now? Talked to my spiritual director and said, we need to talk about oranges. She asked the same question. Why now, Justin? Why now? And maybe the oranges were just for me. Maybe they were for all of us. I don't know. But this is the best I can come up with. And it's kind of like what's going on in our text today. The world is really frightening right now, isn't it? It's filled with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear. We have the whole political domain. We have the climate domain. And, oh boy, it's not just a theory anymore, right? We realize we have a bunch of communities that just got isolated. We have AI on the horizon, and everyone's promising good or ill, but either way, it's going to transform. We're at that moment of unprecedented change. And it's kind of scary. And at the same time, because I spent a lot of sleepless nights asking the question, how does the church stay relevant in such a changing landscape? How do we ensure that atonement is a place of genuine spiritual encounter? How do we shore up our walls? How do we outreach? And as I'm praying through these things and asking for God's guidance, it's like oranges are starting to show up at the church. Things are coming together in ways for new miracles, new ministries. And it all has this theme on how do we build a community, a resilient, spiritually alive community where people can come and encounter. And yet a community that reaches out in love to the community. And so we have Hope Team starting. We have the Apple Project that we're trying to launch, and that is the core value of that. As our communities become isolated, as we build community, we can feed people, we can make our own food. We can always be that light of hope and light in the community. And so these two things are emerging at the same time. On the one hand, fear, and on the other hand, all this new life and hope and ministry, and there are so many other ministries that we're in conversations with right now that I can't share about. We'll see. It's going to be an exciting year of new birth. But all this while, friends, and I'm going to be vulnerable with you, the worst part of being a pastor is all the self-doubt you have. You know, I'm a thinker. The curse of a great thinker is that they're always thinking. And I'm always faced with self-doubt, with second-guessing. Am I making the right decision? Am I delivering the right message? Am I compassionate enough when someone gives me bad news? Always afraid I'm making a mistake. And then, you know what? Oranges show up. At this moment in our lives together. To me, at least, it says this. The Spirit is here. The Spirit is moving. If the Spirit can bring together oranges on a given Sunday, what else can the Spirit do when we work together to love and to hold sacred and to care for our neighbor? So in this time of fear and doubt, in this time of hope, the oranges are an invitation for us all. To step out, to venture forth in faith. And I think the Spirit is going to be there for us because God is always here. And that's our story today in our text. Joseph's life is not going to be what he wanted. You hear fear. It's a scary time for him. His whole world has imploded. And there is the angel. Do not be afraid. Friends, we do not have to be afraid of the future. We just have to be faithful with what we have been entrusted. We venture out, trying to double down on what we do. We just come to encounter the presence of God in our midst and then to go out in love for our community. I hope the oranges are invitations for us all for this year to come. The Spirit is here. And the Spirit is always here. This is the promise at this table. The place where God meets us. The bread and wine, the incarnate God who lived and died for us is here always for us. We do not have to be afraid of this table. Come. And we do not have to be afraid to take that message out in our love, in our words, in our actions. Amen.
Thank you.
In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation. In the anticipation of these days, prepare our hearts for your arrival. Stir our spirits through the gifts of artists, musicians, poets, and preachers, as together we proclaim your advent among us, God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
The earth breaks forth in singing as it heralds the Messiah's coming. Fill our hearts with wonder as we join heaven and nature in announcing this holy birth. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
You send your saving grace and peace to the nations. Lead us in work for justice and care for the common good. May we meet the Christ child we seek in the faces of our neighbors. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
When tears of grief, exhaustion, or loneliness come, or physical or emotional hurt overwhelms us, come to our aid. Uphold all who are anxious, who know the challenges of depression, or who are ill. We pray especially for Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea, Ed, Jean, and for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. We pray for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world. We also pray for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Craig, Mary, Kathy,
Stephen.
God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Surround expectant parents and those suffering from infant loss with communities of support. Bless young children and new parents. Guide us in ways that provide safety for all children and those who care for them. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all who have treasured the gospel and lived in faithful service. Strengthen our earthly journeys until, at the last, your face shines upon us and we are held in your love. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
and invite us all to come back together now, and please stand for our offering hymn. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in the death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as our Savior comes.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are welcome at this table, and all means all, receive all. In a few moments, ushers will come, and we ask you to fill in our communion rail for right. Left, and you may receive communion in whichever position is most comfortable to you. You can stand, you can kneel, only come with your hand extended, and bread will be given to you. And then when the wine comes around, to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. But know that all are welcome at this table. Amen.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, in bread and cup, you have revealed your glory for all people to see together. Nourished by this meal, send us to proclaim your good news of liberation and release brought to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause a moment for some announcements, and we've got a few, so bear with me. First, we want to remind everyone of the Christmas schedule, and there is an error in our bulletin, so please take note. So Christmas Eve service will be on Wednesday at 7 p.m., and then Thursday morning, Christmas morning, for those wishing to come, and no judgment if you're not here. I know Christmas Day is a big day, but service will be here at 10 a.m. for whoever wishes. 7 and 10. I think in the bulletin it's 10 and 11, so just it's a 10. If you show up at 11, we'll see you on the way out. We also want to gently urge all of our members to turn in your pledge cards. I know it's always awkward asking for money, and I know there's a reticence sometimes to put that number down. But those cards are actually important for our budget. And even if you want to put zero down, just let us be able to count that we've received X amount of pledges, right? So it is, really helps us out, even, again, even if you commit to no funds, just to turn in that pledge. And then, I know I'm forgetting something. People know? Okay. We're going to invite Emily forward, because she has an announcement.
Stone soup.
Okay, stone soup, thank you. So Monday, we have stone soup, and there also will be a Christmas service with the members of stone soup at 4:30 at the Episcopal Church. Yours truly is giving the short homily, so if you want to come and support 4:30 Episcopal Church. We also need Christmas cookies. Are we good on Christmas cookies? Okay. No one has to bake at the last minute. And now, please come forward.
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing a little dance. I drank a lot of coffee this morning. So, yeah, to follow up on something that John said during the homily, like, it's really scary right now. Like, our communities are becoming isolated because of what is very likely a climate change-related weather event that we just all lived through. And, you know, we hear about all of this and, like, you know, we're struggling to feed people as well. And this is why I love the gardening project. It fixes both of these problems. You know, plants take carbon out of the atmosphere, which will hopefully eventually make climate change better, and we can grow our own food together. And you might be saying to yourselves, how can I get in on this? Well, you can bring me your recycling. So we are going to be making little miniature greenhouses with the students for the pea garden. And 1 to 2 liter clear plastic bottles or like the milk carton off-white are perfect for these. We cut off the bottom, open up the top, put them over the baby pea plants, and it provides a protected environment for them to grow in the early seasons of spring, the early months of spring. So, and the second thing I want to talk to you guys about is we're going to start working on putting in bulbs, and I still have to ask council for permission for this. So this is your warning. I will be asking for permission for this next week. But we're going to start planting bulbs in the Memorial Garden, probably in the beginning of January. It's a little bit late this time of year to get bulbs in the ground, but it should work out pretty well. So if anybody would like to participate in that, beginning of January, we're going to be doing some bulb planting. Just get in touch and let me know. And that is all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, just a reminder, 7 p.m. Wednesday, 10 a.m. Thursday morning. And with that, let us prepare for this lesson. May the God of peace bless you, the love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit remain upon you now and forever.
Amen.